This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page number 80, which is in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth juz. In the previous episode, we spoke about the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us a number of rulings concerning inheritance, and especially with regards to the fixed shares that Allah azza wa jalla has given to certain relatives of the deceased. And as we mentioned last episode and the one before it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to inheritance, has set out certain shares that are fixed. Those shares that are fixed, those people receive that amount depending upon who else may or may not be living at that time. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has fixed shares for them. So for example, the husband and the wife. The husband, depending on whether there are children of the wife or not, will either receive a half or a quarter. And the wife, if she's the survivor from the husband, depending on whether he has any children or not, will either receive a quarter or an eighth. And so in this way, this is how inheritance works. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives fixed shares to people, and then it also is dependent upon who else is living or not. Sometimes those shares may decrease as a result of other people there, and sometimes those people may simply be blocked and removed from the inheritance line because there are people who are more worthy and closer and therefore have more right to the deceased's estate than they do. And then we have those male relatives that receive, as we said, everything that remains. Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, as we mentioned in the last verse, that these are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those laws is the way and the path to success. And to disobey Allah and to disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to ignore the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to transgress beyond the bounds that Allah azza wa jalla has set, then that is the way to destruction and humiliation and loss. So today we begin with verse 15, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. واللاتي يأتين الفاحشة من نسائكم فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم فإن شهدوا فأمسكوهن في البيوت حتى يتوفاهن الموت أو يجعل الله لهن سبيلا.
If any of your women commit zina, a lewd act, then call four witnesses from among you. Then if they testify to their guilt, keep the women at home until death comes to them or until Allah shows them another way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks now concerning the issue of zina and one of the rulings that Allah azza wa jalla has placed thereon for those people who commit this particular major sin in Islam. Zina is particularly here is being spoken about concerning the woman who commits adultery. She's a married woman and she commits adultery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of Islam, this is the ruling that was given. The first thing to remember is that when it comes to zina, Allah azza wa jalla says that the way that that is established is that you need to have witnesses. And when it comes to this issue of zina, there needs to be four witnesses that are trustworthy, that have integrity, and those four witnesses must testify that they saw that person engaged in the act of zina. So it's not just a doubt or a suspicion or that this person went to a secluded place or we saw them enter into that room or that house or that place. No, they must actually bear witness and testify, invoking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they saw the actual act of zina taking place. That is what it means by call these four witnesses before you. And if they do not, or there are not four witnesses and someone makes that accusation against a woman or a man, that is called qadhf in Islam. It is called slander. And the person who commits that type of slander under Islamic law, and obviously, you know, for many of us that are living in the West, we don't have Islamic law. And so therefore, with these issues, you don't take the laws of Islam into your own hands. You are not the judge or the Muslim ruler or his deputy that you must enact these laws within your own families or communities and so on. That type of vigilante justice isn't something that we have in our religion. However, we're speaking about it from the point of view of these are the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the laws that you would have if you were to follow the Quran and the Sunnah as a judicial system within a Muslim country. What they would do is if a person commits slander towards another person, accuses them of being unchaste, of committing adultery, and that person doesn't have the requisite evidence that they need to bring, just as you have defamation in many countries now, we have slander. And that person will be lashed 80 times for that type of crime. So therefore, these four witnesses must have witnessed the act of zina. And that is why it is something which is extremely rare that you will find a person to be in that situation. So even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where the punishment of zina was enacted, it was usually, or in every case that came before the Prophet ﷺ, to the best of my knowledge, and Allah knows best, it was due to confession as opposed to evidence and witnesses. And so it was due to confession. Those people would come and they would confess. And the Prophet ﷺ would ask them multiple times if they confessed. And then he would make sure that there were no obstacles to that confession, that that person wasn't, for example, mentally unwell, didn't have any other issues going on, didn't make a mistake. And so once he was sure, then he would establish upon them the punishment. So no case came before him in which four witnesses were able to corroborate this. However, if that happens, at the beginning of Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla was saying that for the women, their punishment, if they are found to be guilty of this, is that they are simply imprisoned in their homes. And they must stay there until death. Or until Allah Azza wa Jalla sets out a way for them, a different way for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did set out that different way, as is mentioned in the hadith of, I believe it is Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu anh, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khudu anni, qad ja'ala Allahu lahunna sabila. Take from me, he said, for indeed Allah has given to them another way. And then he established the rules and the laws that we know of zina as we know them now. And that is that if a person is in a marriage and they commit adultery, then that person that commits adultery in that way, they would be stoned to death. And if a person is a virgin, meaning they're not in a marriage, and they haven't been married before, and that person is a virgin, then for them they would be lashed 100 times. And so therefore, the law was changed or amended to that. At the beginning of Islam, it was this verse number 15 in Surah An-Nisa, that the women would simply be imprisoned in their homes and not allowed to leave until death came to them, or until Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them a different way, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so. And that law applies both to men and women. The new law of the stoning or the lashing applies both to men and both to women. In verse number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَالَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ فَآذُوهُمَا فَإِنْ تَابَا وَأَصْلَحَا فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If two men commit a lewd act, then punish them both. If they repent and mend their ways, leave them alone. For indeed Allah is always ready to accept repentance, and He is full of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if two people from you, men and women, they perform this lewd type of act, or they do something which isn't zina, but they do other types of acts which are unbecoming, which don't go to the act of zina, but maybe they are the precursors to that act of zina, then you should punish them for that, meaning that you should punish them in a way which is obviously less than the penal punishment of a zina, but you should punish them in a way that they therefore understand that what they have done is a sin, and that it is something which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until they repent, or unless they repent. If a person repents, then Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Ghafoor and Al-Rahim. And so therefore, for a person to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which they must do for every sin that they commit. Every sin that a person commits, they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and they make sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that sincere repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal is that they abandon that sin that they were upon, and they show that regret, and they have that firm determination that by Allah's will, they will never return to that sin again. And then if they happen to sin again genuinely, then Allah Azza wa Jal is willing to accept that repentance a second time and a third time and multiple times from His mercy and forgiveness subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person must be sincere in the repentance that they make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal then in the next couple of verses speaks about this issue of repentance. So people may sin. Even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, there were people who committed zina, people who stole, people who committed murder. People sin and they make those mistakes and they commit those crimes. And that is why we have in Islam laws for this, just as every society has laws for these types of eventualities and these types of cases. And the Quran is a book that deals with all of these issues because it is the book of guidance. It is the book that the Muslim goes to find guidance in all of their affairs, whether it is personal, whether it is spiritual, whether it's to do with their family or their wealth, and whether it's to do with or whether it's to do with their society and the way that they should judge and rule between people and the way that they should conduct their affairs within their societies. And so therefore the Quran speaks about these issues. But often you will find when Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about these major sins in Islam, such as zina, such as murder, such as, for example, theft, in which there are harsh punishments that Allah Azza wa Jalla places upon those people who commit those crimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always opens the door for tawbah. You will find this very common, as Allah Azza wa Jalla does here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these people, as we know, they have a harsh punishment in Islam for the sin that they have committed. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says to them, and if they turn to Allah and they repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla, then leave them alone. Because they have turned to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always opens up the door for repentance for the believers. So no matter how great the sin, no matter how grave the crime may be, a person can always turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and make tawbah so long as they do so before death comes to them. That door is always open for them. And the Muslim is actively encouraged to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla in making tawbah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would constantly seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him for his repentance. In verse number 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما. But Allah only undertakes to accept repentance from those who do evil out of ignorance and soon afterwards repent. These are the ones Allah will forgive. He is all-knowing and He is all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the true repentance, or the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts, is the one who fits this description. When a person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from Allah's favor. And it is from Allah's grace and bounty that me and you are able to make repentance or repent to Him and make tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses us in two ways in the act of tawbah. Number one, He gives us the ability to make the act of tawbah. That is, that we recognize that we've sinned, that we've done wrong, that we need to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that we recognize that we have a Lord that is all forgiving, all merciful, all kind, all gentle. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us that ability to have that realization, to have the sorrow and the grief that we feel within ourselves for the sin that we've committed, and then to turn to Him and to make this act of tawbah. And then number two, Allah's second blessing upon us is that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts that tawbah if it is repentance. Allah accepts that repentance if it is sincere. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors us in these ways. So we sin and we disobey Allah. From Allah's mercy and gentleness and forgiveness is that He then allows us to understand what we've done, recognize Allah's favors, acknowledge that Allah is all forgiving, and so turn to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from Allah's further favor is that He subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for our sins. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that those who do evil out of ignorance because shaitan overcame them and overpowered them and his whisperings overpowered them, or ignorance because they did it not really understanding the true evil of what they've done or the punishment that Allah Azza wa Jalla may place upon them. So they do it because they're overcome by their weaknesses, by their weak iman, by the temptations of the dunya, by the whisperings of shaitan, and they sin by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't do it out of hatred. They don't do it out of malice. They don't do it out of anything like this. And they are actively people who are remorseful. And so therefore, as they are remorseful, they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. And then they turn to Allah and soon repent afterwards. And the scholars said, some of them said, that means that as soon as they sin at the first viable opportunity, they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance. And that is something which is a good practice. It is a good habit to develop for yourself if you don't already have it. And that is that every time you sin, you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance, as opposed to letting them accumulate, letting these sins build over weeks and months and years, and saying, I will inshallah make tawbah once, or I will towards the end of my life go for hajj and then ask Allah for forgiveness for everything, because none of us have that guarantee. Another scholar said, no, what it means to soon repent, meaning as long as it is done before the time of death. And both of those meanings are correct. So long as a person isn't breathing their last or isn't on their deathbed, the door or their soul is not about to leave their body, rather, the door of repentance is open for them. And also, it is from good practice and it is from the way of the believer that they turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla soon after they have committed that sin. And that is because no one has a guarantee. Someone could die suddenly. You may not necessarily be in that situation where you can understand that your life is coming to an end. You're on your deathbed. You have a terminal illness. It may well be that you die in a sudden way, unexpectedly. And so therefore, it is from good practice to make tawbah. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, kullu bani adama khatta' وخير الخطائين التوابون. Every single child of Adam commits sins, and the best of those who sin are those who frequently repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah loves those who make tawbah. Allah loves those who seek repentance. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, إن الله يحب التوابين. Allah loves those who continuously, frequently repent to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. As the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you, meaning us as humans, didn't sin and turn to Allah in repentance, then Allah Azza wa Jal would have taken you away, would have removed you all. And He would have brought another creation that does sin, so that they may turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in repentance, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala may forgive them. That is how Allah Azza wa Jal loves people who repent, because Allah knows our weaknesses. Allah knows that we are people of sin. That is not the problem. The problem is when we don't turn to Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness and mercy. And so Allah loves us when we show our humility, our humbleness, our need, our poverty before Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and we turn to Him seeking repentance. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that indeed Allah is more happy when one of you make tawbah to Him than the one who is traveling in the desert and he loses all of his provisions, his animal runs away, goes and runs away with all of his food and water, and he's left him for dead, thinks he's going to die, and then he lies down thinking that that's the end, and then he wakes up and he sees that the animal has returned and he grabs those reins. And he's so happy and so overcome by joy. Allah is more happy than that individual who was on the precipice of death, thought that there was no possible way for him to survive now in the desert. And then with very little effort of his own, he wakes up to find that his animal has returned with all of his food and all of his water. And that is exactly what we do when we sin. We sin and we disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. The act of tawbah takes very little in terms of effort and time. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is so happy that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives the people who turn to Him in that act of tawbah and repentance. However, those people who don't do this, in verse number 18, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about the second type of person. And those are the people who don't repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, or their repentance is insincere. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. It is not true repentance, Allah says, when people continue to do evil until death confronts them and they say, now I repent, nor when they die defiant. We have prepared a painful torment for these people. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, it is not true repentance. Those people who continuously sin and disobey Allah Azza wa Jal until the moment of death is upon them. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal has kept the door of repentance open so long as two things do not happen. One of two things do not happen. The first is that your soul is not about to leave your body. A person knows now, right now, death is coming to me. So they turn to Allah and they say, oh Allah, I repent. That person is only doing it now because they know that their life is over. They know that there's nothing left for them in the dunya. And so there is a level of insincerity in repentance. Or number two, that Yawm al-Qiyamah is being established. The sun is rising from the west and Yawm al-Qiyamah is coming. And again, they know that this is the end of this world and now they can see the signs of Allah are true. both of those people have come to understand their reality by force as opposed to by choice. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla does not accept that type of repentance. So therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here that these people don't show remorse in their life. They don't turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't make tawbah. They don't seek forgiveness. And some of them just hope that Allah will forgive. And some of them expect that Allah will forgive as if they have some type of guarantee. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that those people who wait until it is the moment of death and then they say, Inni tubtul an. Now I repent, O Allah. Those people, Allah says, that is not the true repentance. وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. Nor is it repentance to die upon disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which shows, therefore, that in order for a person's repentance and forgiveness to be correct and to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal, they must have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and worship Him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, Allah Azza wa Jal says, these types of people whose repentance is insincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will have a painful torment. So therefore, tawbah is from the most beloved of deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal, one that we should be actively engaged in, one that we should be constantly aware of, and one that we should use those times and places in which our du'as are more likely to be accepted, times and places that are beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, to increase in the acts of seeking forgiveness and making tawbah. So for example, the month of Ramadan, and especially those last 10 nights of Ramadan as we seek Laylatul Qadr. For example, when a person goes for Umrah or they're performing Hajj and they're standing on the day of Arafah, on the plain of Arafah, these moments, these places, these times are virtuous times. And there are times in which a person should be more so and more active and more engaged in asking Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repent upon them. The final verse that we will take today is verse number 19 on this page. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, it is not lawful for you to inherit women against their will, nor should you treat your wives harshly, hoping to take back some of the bridal gift that you gave to them, unless they are guilty of something clearly outrageous. Live with them in accordance with what is fair and kind. If you dislike them, it may well be that you dislike something in which Allah Azza wa Jal has put much good. This verse, Allah Azza wa Jal again speaks about the rights of the women in a couple of affairs. And Allah Azza wa Jal will go on to speak about issues concerning marriage after this particular verse, and we will cover those inshallah in the next episode. Allah Azza wa Jal says, it's not permissible for you to inherit from your wives or to inherit from your women folk without their consent, against their will. As we said before, that the Arabs would take their wealth without any justice or without any due right or cause. So the woman inherits from her husband, she inherits from her father, she inherits maybe from her brother or from her son. And this man who comes because he's her guardian or he's stronger or he's more powerful, and he takes that from her. Or in another case in which there is oppression towards women, is that this is now the husband and the wife. And the husband has agreed to give her a dowry of, let's say, £10,000 or £1,000. And then he starts to manipulate her, put pressure on her, harm her, so that she will forgive him for all of the dowry or some of the dowry. Or she will gift some of it back to him if he's already paid and so on. These are types of harms that Allah Azza wa Jal says that are not allowed in Islam. Don't behave and treat your women folk in this way. Rather, what you should do is live with them in a way that is good, in a way that is kind, in a way that is gentle. So therefore, in marriages, in these types of relationships, we have rights as men, they have rights as women. And so we have to be able to understand the rights that are for us and the rights that are upon us. And they also have to understand the same. And then within those relationships, we must also come to the understanding that sometimes I can't fulfill all of my rights. And sometimes they can't fulfill all of their rights. So there is a level of forgiveness, of compassion, of understanding, of being easygoing, in the sense that I know that sometimes my wife can't do everything that she's meant to do. And she knows that me as a husband, sometimes I fall short, I have shortcomings, I can't fulfill all of my rights and responsibilities. But we see the bigger picture. and we see the greater benefit and good for our sake and for our families. And so we forgive and pardon, as people have to do in all of their relationships. Sometimes parents with their children, siblings, friends, you have these issues where people don't fulfill your rights, or they harm you, or they oppress you, or they wrong you. And so to do something which is good in terms of forgiving and pardoning is something which is recommended in Islam, unless obviously that person is just being outright oppressive and harmful and violent. That is a different issue. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that maybe you may dislike certain things concerning them, but perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within them a greater good for you. And so that's the same thing as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the men. He said, your wives, even if you dislike one thing about them, you will like many others. That's nature. That's just natural. And they too, even if they dislike something about us, they will like many other things. No one is perfect. No one has everything. And so therefore, there are certain things that each person has which are negatives and drawbacks, and other things which are strengths and benefits. And so you may dislike certain things, but if that person overall is good in their religion, good in their character, good in fulfilling their rights, good in the way that they live with you, perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla will place blessings in you in terms of your children, your wealth, and inshallah ta'ala in many other affairs. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.